Let us pray. Lord, be thou our vision, be thou our salvation, be thou our wisdom in Christ. Amen. The text is from 1 Corinthians 3, which was read a moment ago. Let me reread these verses again. Let no one deceive himself. If someone thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a moron, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is moronic, foolish, compared to the wisdom of God. For it has been written, he traps the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, whether things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. You may be seated. I hope that all of you have a concern for wisdom, that all of your thoughts, all of your actions would be according to God's wisdom and not according to the wisdom of the world. Jesus said that God causes his sun to rise and his rain to fall on the good and the evil, on the just and the unjust. That is, right now in the world, everyone is experiencing his blessings, whether they acknowledge them as blessings that come from God or not. But the day will come, judgment day, when all things will be separated, evil from the good. And then those who have not acknowledged God or have believed in him will cry out in their pain and suffering and agony. And one of the things they will say to themselves was this: why was I so foolish? We need to compare the wisdom of the world with the wisdom that we have in Christ. And when we do this, it becomes both a warning to us, but also a great encouragement that we hold on to that wisdom that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. I'd like you to think about the wisdom of the world, which goes something like this. If you could boil it all down into a little creed, that little creed might sound like this. First article, there is no God, and the world just is and always has been. Second article, purpose of life is to try to be happy and to try to make other people happy. Third article, when we die, we simply cease to exist. That is the creed of many, many, many people in the world today. And that is kind of the philosophy that undergirds everything apart from the wisdom that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Let's take it apart for a little bit and see if it really is wisdom. First article, no God, the world just is and always has been. Just step back for a moment and ask a person who says such a thing, where in the world did you get that? Did you just make that up out of whole cloth? How do you know that? Is there any proof, any reality to that at all? Actually, when we look at the physical world, we see just the opposite. We see natural laws and physical constants that are no accident. All of them, in one way or another, work together to bring forth life. And so we could just as easily look at the world and clearly see how it is designed, and that there is a creator behind all of that. Not wisdom at all. Second article, the purpose of life is to be happy and to help other people to be happy. You know, Christians could go along with this article to a point. Now, it is important to find happiness, and especially to help other people to find happiness as well. But the problem here is the way that we seek to find happiness and whether that way actually works or not. Satan told our first parents that they could find happiness if they disobeyed God. And so that's what many people do today as well. Millions of different ways to find happiness. And yet, in the end, none of them actually succeed. None of them work. And that's because of something in that third article that we need to go to next as well. When we die, we simply cease to exist. If that is true, then you must also accept this fact, that then there is no justice in this world. If there's no eternal justice, then there is no justice. And the only real law of the land is this, that we get what we can get away with. And if that's your code, if that's your morality, then I can promise you that you will never achieve what you're trying to achieve in that second article. You will never find happiness, because whatever you find is going to die with you and is going to go to the grave with you. There is no good, lasting, eternal happiness. About a year and a half ago, I was with my daughter in California. We were driving around in this college town. She was looking at this college that she was hoping maybe she could attend. And I love college towns. They're full of diversity and all kinds of people coming from different parts of the world. And it is kind of a melting pot of lots of different ideas. And it's a great place for a Christian to be, a place to stand up and debate philosophy and reality and wisdom. And I saw something in that town that just really blew me away. I actually took a picture of it, and I'll put this up on my blog later, and you can take a look at it. I'm driving down this main street of this little town, and there's a beat-up, old, rusty car in front of me. And a guy that owned this car had taken, you know, the little metallic stickers that people use to spell out their name on their mailboxes or on their houses. He had taken this lettering and he had spelled out the sentence, pasted across the back window of this old car, "Diogenes is my co-pilot." As soon as I saw that, I laughed. My daughter looked at me kind of bewildered. I didn't expect her to understand. Not too many people know anything about Diogenes, and I don't expect any of you to know anything about him either. But it was just so fitting to be in that college town, to be in that place where everybody thinks they have wisdom, to finally meet the one guy that's pretty close to actually knowing true wisdom. Diogenes is my co-pilot. Who was Diogenes? Diogenes was a philosopher. He lived in the city of Corinth about 300 years before the Apostle Paul got there on his second missionary journey. Diogenes was a weirdo. Diogenes criticized all the other philosophers, and he took them all to task, especially Plato. And he pointed out that there's nothing good ultimately in humanity. One of his little stunts was to walk around in the middle of the daylight with a lantern. And people would ask him, "Diogenes, what are you doing with a lantern in the middle of the day?" And he'd say, "I'm looking for an honest man." There's no honest people. And all your pursuits of happiness, and Corinth was full of people trying to find happiness, all of them are going to fail. All of them are going to end in despair. And so, in his mind, you might as well just live your life like a dog, because that's just as good as anything else that you're going to achieve in this life. Paul came to Corinth 300 years later with a much different creed. Here's Paul's creed. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen how closely it sounds to the Apostles' Creed. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Paul came to the city of Corinth, a city not unlike any of our cities today, where people were frenetically and selfishly and competitively trying to find happiness. Finding happiness in their work, and yet so often their work turned into greed. Trying to find happiness in sex, and yet so often the intimacy for marriage turned into the pursuit of ecstasy outside of marriage. Trying to find happiness in transforming themselves into other kinds of genders even, that we see happening today. It's nothing new. It's been around for centuries. People trying to find happiness in all sorts of different ways, but failing because they were trying to fill their spiritual and eternal hearts with physical things. And Diogenes was right. It's not going to work. It'd be interesting if Paul and Diogenes could have met. The conversation between the two might have gone something like this. Diogenes starting out by saying, "There is no honest man. All efforts to find happiness are vain and futile. We might as well live our lives like dogs. Paul comes back and says, you know, Diogenes, you're right about some things. There are no honest men, and there are no ultimately good people, and all our human efforts to find happiness in this life are doomed to failure. Because, you're right, Diogenes, there's nothing good ultimately in humanity and in any individual one of us. But that doesn't mean there is no honest man. There is an honest man who was born not of Adam, but of God, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. This is the one I proclaim. And he came and lived without sin, died because of our sins, and rose again to give us a new life of faith that overcomes the power of sin. We are no longer ultimately dominated by our pride, by our selfishness, or our cynicism. We live in faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And Paul probably would have gone on with Diogenes, who also thought that all things end with the grave, and would have said, just as Christ rose from the dead because he was without sin, so we whose sins are forgiven will also rise from the dead. The grave will not hold us. For the corruptible, as Paul said, must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to know that gospel and that creed. What wisdom that is compared to the wisdom of the world. Paul began in the little passage that I read before, let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a moron in order that he might become wise. The world would call Paul's creed foolishness, but God calls that creed wisdom. Wisdom, a path that actually leads to true happiness and eternal happiness. And I pray that all of us would know that path, live that path until its very end, that leads to be with God and with wisdom forever. Amen. Please rise. O Lord God, save us from the wisdom of this world, which is really foolishness. Let us gladly be rejected by the world and be called fools, so that we might always be with you and be wise unto salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.